Amen. Amen. Okay, so this has been kind of just working on me and working on my heart. I wanted to do a little study into counseling and what the Bible says about it. I wanted to look at three pillars of counseling. Because in Scripture, counsel is far more than just the advice we give. It really is. It's the foundational pillar for making our wise decisions of how we're going to make our decision and what we're going to base it on. We can align ourselves with God, or we can align ourselves with the world. That's basically what it comes down to for counseling. But it is biblical, right? I mean, everybody's given advice at one point or time. I mean, that's counsel. I mean, it really is. Somebody comes up to you, asks you, what do you do? And I would hope that you would have a biblical answer for that. But right now, we're going to look at kind of three different things. We're going to look at the critical necessity of cumulative counsel. We're going to look at the corrupt danger of carnal counsel. And then we're going to look at the comprehensive certainty of celestial counsel, of God's counsel. So with that, the first aspect of scriptural counsel is that it can be collaborative in nature. It can be a group of people giving counsel. And we see that in the Bible a lot in the Old Testament and all that. It's not always good, but we could see that. Actually, a lot of the group counsel does end up being bad, but it is there. It is there for us to learn and do that and learn from it. But God will sometimes use, right? Well, we always know that he uses us individually to get a hold of somebody, but sometimes he uses a group of us, of mature believers, of ones that are in line with his word. That's how he reaches people. That's how he gets to people. And he need, you know, and we might have to get together and make a decision. Right? For example, right? You see it in the local church. Pastor has deacons. They have meetings. Right? I mean, ultimately, he's kind of in charge, but to get together, to take this counsel, hey, what is right for the church? What is right for the people? Should we do this? Can we do it? Is it the right move we're making? And a lot of prayer, a lot of thought goes into that. And you hope that when you're done, you followed what God has for you. You followed what God aligned, has in line for you. But the good thing is why they do that with the deacons is because sometimes it protects them from blind spots they have. Or maybe blind spots of some of the deacons, right? I don't think this is a good idea or not. I mean, if I'm off base, let me know. But I mean, this is how it usually works. Pastor wants an opinion, they do it, and it's like, okay, and is this a good idea for the church? Should we do this at this time? And I'm sure there's tons of meetings that go on all the time that we probably don't even know about. Probably like phone conversations and that, not always just a set meeting in the back or a time of day. But if you turn over to Proverbs, Proverbs 11, Proverbs 11 and verse 14, and the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fail. Or fall, I'm sorry. Where there is no counsel, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And again, I just use the illustration of pastor and the deacons. Why? To get together to figure out what's good. Why? Because that way he can have safety. There's safety in numbers. You'll notice it when they counsel. You counsel with a woman, you don't want, right? I mean, we do it over in Redeeming Hope. You don't want to sit there with one man and one woman in the back of a room. It's just, it doesn't look good. It doesn't have it. And anything can happen with that. So you bring in somebody else, preferably another woman or another man. It doesn't, you know, preferably another woman. And you give counsel like that. Why? Because there's safety in it. And I hope that we're doing that. We're when we're giving advice, we're thinking of that. We may not always have a chance, you know, counsel with a woman or something like that and have to have somebody else there. But I hope we're thinking of that safety every time we give the advice. That safety of, okay, I know this person. You know, they may or may not go to our church, but is this the best situation I'm in to give this advice? And that could be with a man. I mean, you don't, you know, that goes a long way with men as well, because you don't want to go into a certain situation where they're going. I mean, sometimes you have to stop people because safety is stopping them from speaking. A good example is marriage, right? You take marriage counseling. Not much you can do and help another man if he's going to sit there and bash his wife. You can't do nothing. It's hard. So do you want to put yourself in a situation where you're just alone with them, or maybe you're in a public place and they're going off like that? It's a safety measure for counsel to be given in a group. It really is. It comes down to that. If you turn over to Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 22, it says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established." You're establishing what you want to align with, well, hopefully align with God. That's what you're establishing. You want to establish a pattern, a correct way of giving people advice and not just throwing out any old type of advice. And unfortunately, that's what we tend to do a lot. We just throw out advice, no prayer, no scripture for it, no nothing. It's, oh, yeah, I do this. You know, I often don't do this, and I don't like doing this, but the Hebrew word for guy, you know, for counsel is along the lines of guidance and steering. You know, and I say I don't like doing that because, I mean, it's pretty obvious from what you read in the Bible that you don't need Hebrew or Greek. It kind of fits itself out in the context. But I mean, it's just more point to say that that's what it is. You're trying to guide somebody. You're trying to steer them in the right way. You're trying to make them either come back to God or help them grow their relationship with God. I mean, that's really the options we have. But if you look over at Isaiah 58... Isaiah 58 and verse 11. And the Bible says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Again, the purpose of it, the purpose of counseling, the purpose of guiding somebody is so that they can get closer to God, that you could point the, and not really point out their sin and what they're doing wrong, but give them advice of how to go about it. And I know sometimes you have to point out the sin and you have to call it what it is. But for the most part, they know what they're doing wrong. They really do. And they're looking for a way to correct that, I would hope. I mean, there's some that don't want that either. They're just coming to basically have you encourage them in the wrong decision they want to make, but but for the most part, that they're coming to you because they want that advice. They value your advice. It's no small task, and it's not to be taken lightly, because I mean, really, that you have to feel comfortable with somebody to come and at least bring it up and ask for advice of how you can get better, of what you're doing wrong, and just want to be closer to the Lord. It does. It takes a lot. You have to be comfortable with them. I mean, I don't know anybody that's just going to go up and ask anybody for advice. So it shouldn't be taken lightly. And the one thing we can see with the necessity of counsel is if you turn over to Acts 15. And this would apply to all of us. And now Acts 15, I won't read the whole thing, but Acts 15, we'll start off in verse 1 and just read a little bit, though. And it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem into the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentile, and that caused great joy unto them and all the brethren." So we see here they're going, and I won't read a lot of that, but you see they're going, and they have a question. You know, they're like, "Hey, what's going on here?" Well, people are sitting there teaching that you have to be circumcised, that you have to do this, that you got to follow the law of Moses to be saved. So it says, okay, so what are we going to do? So they're like, we're going to go up to the apostles, right? Because the apostles are all going, they're trying to, I mean, this is the early church. You could see how the early church was built, and it was built on counsel. What is right, what is wrong? And Paul's going up there to tell them, hey, look, this is not how it works. They don't have to do this, that. And if you go later down, you see that they tell you that, like, you know, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you know, but you should, you know, maybe refrain from this. And so they're trying to get and give people good advice. What are we going to tell people? How are we going to tell people they have to be saved? Well, can we tell people that how they can be saved? Well, we have to look at the Bible. We have to look at what Jesus said. We have to look at so many things. And that's where a lot of confusion comes in. You know, which brings me to the corrupt danger of carnal counsel. Because as they were sitting here, they set down what they believed. They sat down what they heard Jesus say. And there's that whole corrupt counsel out now that you can find a lot on social media and YouTube, where, you have to do works. You have to do this. You have to be saved, when they already established it. There's counsel out there now. Don sent me a video this morning, and I'm like, oh, boy. There's a guy out there telling you that you don't need to be born again, because that's not what he was talking about. And he goes through, I mean, it is such a personal interpretation of the scriptures, it's not even funny. Like, you know, born again is not for us. That's for... I mean, it's crazy. It's like, that's for people who endure to the end, and then they get born again because they get new flesh. That's not even it. I mean, he didn't even go farther. He just used that one, I say you must be born again, context. So you got counsel like that out there driving people different ways giving false gospels and doing that. But we shouldn't be surprised. Why? Because Satan is an imitator of Christ. He wants to do everything he does. He wants to do it to confuse you, to put different things in your head so that way you do get confused. Or you do just not, you don't go out and do what you're supposed to because you're caught up on yourself. And that's what happens so many times. Which is another reason why counsel is important, because we get so down on ourselves, we don't seek the advice, and we think that we're just going to have this epiphany and have it all figured out. And there's not going to be any repercussions, there's not going to be any danger, it's not going to affect on other people, but it does, because we keep quiet and we don't seek the right counsel. But there is this carnal college, or carnal counsel. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's one of the verses, that's one of the main verses we use with the addiction, the whole Psalm 1. And why is that? Because you could see the progression just in the first verse. Right? If you take ungodly counsel, if you take carnal counsel, well, guess what? That's going to lead to you standing with them, standing in their way, standing with them. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And, you know, and that's not what you want to do. And I just, I listened to a message by David Gibbs not too long ago. And it was funny because he brought up Psalm 1. And he was talking about how he was flying. He's in an airport getting on the plane. He's flying somewhere. And this flight attendant is rude. She's rude to everybody, rude to him. And basically told him, you know, you need to lose some weight to fit in the seat. You know, and he got mad, and he said some things he shouldn't have. And and he says, hey, the people started clapping on the plane because she was that rude. And he's like, and that's when I realized, he's like, I did wrong. He's like, these people were cheering. He's like, I sat in the seat of the scornful. I let it get to me. You know, and that's, you don't want to take that carnal counsel. You don't want to take that advice from somebody that doesn't know it. One of the things I do tell people with addictions is find a Christian that has overcome it. Go with them. That's who you want to be with. If you want to overcome somebody, find somebody who's done it. Find somebody who's done it the right way, who's been in their Bible, who's close to Christ. That's what you want, because that's the counsel you want. But bad advice, it's just, it's an entry point for Satan to get in. He's going to get in and he's going to be in your heart. And once it's in your heart, it hardens your heart. It gets you thinking about things and doing things that you shouldn't be doing. But the problem is the carnal counsel that people get, it may look good. It may be logical. And you're going, oh, well, this is pretty good advice. I mean, we've all been there, right? I mean, don't say a lost person's ever giving you, logical and seems like good advice. You know, I've been there. It's like, oh, wow, that's okay. Well, that makes sense. You know, what could be wrong with that? What's wrong with it is the foundation of that is worldly. And since it's worldly, it's based on deceit. It's not based on truth. So you're sitting there listening to these people and going, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. That's a bad idea. Because when it comes down to it, why do we take that carnal advice? Because we want to get what we want to get. We want to hear what we want to hear. And we all know that. There's people like that that come up to you and say, hey, well, and you say, no, I would like your advice. I would like your opinion on this. And that's what they tell you, you know, whether it be with marriage or what they want to do for God. And they say, well, here's what I want to do. And that's where you have to have discernment. If somebody comes to you and they say, this is what I want to do. Like, hey, I want to, I don't know, we'll just say for example, it's like, hey, I want to serve in the church. But I want to do this. You know, I don't want to have to vacuum rugs. Or I don't want to have to, you know, clean toilets. Or I don't want to have to do this. But I will do... you know, I'd like to, you know, be like head usher. You know, that's fitting for me. And then they give you no scripture to go with that or this or that. And they say, hey, I want to talk to pastor about this. You know, I'm going to see what he says. And, you know, what you should say is, well, look, you know, everybody starts somewheres. You don't get a job and start off at the highest tier. You have to work your way up. But some people won't do that. And they'll just be like, well, I'm going to go anyways. And then they go in and they give pastor a headache because they're sitting there demanding that they serve in a certain spot or do a certain thing. And that's all carnal. And again, it's based on that. Carnal counsel is based on deceit. It ignores the whole eternal truth of God's word. It ignores it. It doesn't want it. If you turn over to 1 Kings, in a very familiar spot, 1 Kings 12, let's see. 1 Kings 12 and maybe we'll start in we'll start in verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him saying, if thou wilt be the servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were growing up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye, that ye may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which my father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were growing up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid in you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke, my father have chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel, and they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore, the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And we'll stop there. But this is the perfect example of getting carnal counsel. Anybody here know? I mean, I didn't grow up in church. Well, I did grow up in church. It was a Catholic church, so it's way different. But, I mean, anybody here, even if you grew up in church, know that the people you grow up with sometimes don't make the best decision. I mean, that's it. You could be saved and still make a stupid choice and have somebody follow you doing it. I mean, let's be honest. You know, teens are teens, especially boy teens. I know I was one of them. And it doesn't have to be totally wicked and evil, but boys, when they're teens, as they're starting to become men, they got to throw their weight around. They got to push. They got to see who's going to basically just want to know, am I the alpha or am I a beta male? And that's kind of how it goes. And I mean, that's, you know, can I get control of this situation? Will people listen to me because of it? And that alone makes you make bad choices. You know, that's, you know, fights start, things, words get said. It's a part of life. I don't know how teen girls are, but I can imagine it's probably, you know, I'm not a girl, and I don't really want to say I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm kind of thinking, you know, girls are probably a little worse at that stuff, and you know, sometimes people just say something to guys and they just let it slide right off them. It's nothing, but this is what we have. We have Rehoboam here growing up with these people. And who knows what they got into. You're talking he's royalty, so these kids are probably something too, think they're something, think they're entitled. And he's listening to them. His father, who listened to all these people, his father, who was the wisest man on earth, he decided to say, no, I'm not listening to these guys that he listened to. I mean, that's just dumb in its own. But that's what he did. And now this is the problem with this carnal counsel he gives. Right here at this moment, when Rehoboam does this, he doesn't know it yet, but that's what causes Israel to be divided. That's it. He just separated a whole nation that God wanted together, because he took carnal counsel. And that's where you don't realize that if you're not prayed up, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not willing to say, yes, I'm wrong, I don't care what my opinion is on this subject, I care what God says, you're not in a place of giving, you should not give advice. You're going to give the wrong one. But if you're prayed up, if you're aligned with God, you know, then work it. Just make sure it's sound advice. It's not that he does not want us to give advice. It's not that he doesn't want it, right? I mean, you go to a lot of places, bear ye one another's burdens. That's, you know, why? What are you going to do then? Well, sometimes the way you bear someone's burdens is because you went through it. So you could be a blessing to them. So you're going to give them advice of, how did you do it? Well, I did this. You know, I've just always remember, I always think of my brother every time I talk with him. And, you know, because he knows, and he goes, it's just amazing to him. He's like, so that's how you, so you just went to God because you were having problems with your wife. Pretty much. Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, if you want to put it simple, yeah. I knew I was doing wrong. I knew I wasn't the husband I could be. I didn't know if I wanted to be the husband I knew I could be. And now, because I sought counsel, because I sought God, because that's what it is, which is my next point, right, is the comprehensive certainty of celestial counsel. Because I wanted God, because I wanted to know what was right or wrong, I sought counsel. I sought it with him. I sought it with somebody who wanted to take the time to sit down with me and tell me the gospel. And when you seek God's counsel, when you seek that supernatural, that celestial counsel, something changes in you. Because when all that clicked in my head of what he did for me, as I'm in this massive pit, trying to crawl out, but still doing wrong daily. And don't get me wrong, I still make mistakes. But because I sought his counsel, I was fine. He came to me. And that's the beauty of it. When you seek that celestial counsel, God meets you where you are. And he does it now, even after you're saved. He meets you where you are. He says, okay, you know, yep, nope, you're right. You've been doing wrong again, but that's okay. I'm coming down to meet you there. Don't worry about it. Why? Why is it important to seek his counsel? Because ultimately, human counsel fails. But the counsel of God is flawless, it's eternal, it's complete. And true wisdom begins when we submit ourselves to his design, not our plans, his design. It's the one thing that will last. They'll never be taken away. His counsel will last forever. Praise the Lord for that, because, you know, we need it. We fail. And that's where we have to be very careful. And that's why I say when you give counsel, because it's going to happen. Why is it going to happen? Well, if you turn over to Isaiah 9, I'll show you why counsel will come. But Isaiah 9, and I'm sure you guys know this, and you're probably going, what? What's? But Isaiah 9, the thing is we get saved, we're supposed to preach the gospel. And then we're supposed to have a mind like Christ, correct? I mean, that's biblical, right? We're supposed to have a mind like Christ. We're supposed to want the things he wants. We're supposed to do the things he wants. Isaiah 9, in verse 6, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, hey, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus was the best counselor there was. And we're called to follow him. We're supposed to be like him, as close as we can get. Because I know we fail a lot, and we're not perfect in this body, but as close as we can get, we're supposed to be that way. Jesus doesn't just give the good advice, because he is the ultimate perfection of that advice. He's the perfection of counseling. He provides it with clarity, with certainty. How? Through his words, through his spirit, which is supposed to be living in us, which will teach us all things, which would include counseling. So we should be ready to give counsel. We should be ready to do these things, to take upon us, if somebody comes to us, to be instant in season. I mean, that's right, that's counsel. Talk about reproof, rebuke, with long suffering. I mean that really is. What are you ready to do? Well, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to I'm ready to give you some sound advice from the Bible. That's what I'm ready to do. And we should all be ready to do that. If you turn over to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That shall stand. And then if we go back to Psalm 1, what does that say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You got your stand right there. His counsel will help you stand, not with the wrong people, but with the right people, seeking the right people, seeking the right advice. But again, human counsel fails. So if human counsel fails, where are we going to go? How are we going to know this? How do men know whether they're called to preach? How do people know whether they're supposed to serve? I mean, that's what we're getting at here. How do you know that? It's because of the counsel of God. That's what makes a woman say, yes, I should probably be in nursery. Or a man say, hey, I should probably go out there, you know, maybe do visitation. It's God's counsel that helps you understand that. It's that Holy Spirit in you, working you, giving you this. See, the problem is, That's where human counsel can never fulfill God's counsel. Just as no man can tell you whether you're saved or lost, no man can tell you what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do. That has to come from God. But don't think counsel isn't necessary. Because you're sitting there, as we went with the first point, you're sitting there, it's to try to protect your blind spots. That's why you do that. That's why you go to somebody and say, hey, what do you see that I don't see? But still, ultimately, God's the one that has to tell you. And I hope when you give advice, you don't say, well, I don't believe God is. You say, no, here's something, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about your personality or this or that, and I maybe think this might not be a good fit for you, or this might not be right for you. That's different. Okay? But nobody should go give advice and say, hey, no, I don't think God told you that. Especially if you have Scripture. If you got Scripture to go with it, then, that's ultimately between you and God. But if it truly is, if you're truly prayed up and you're truly in His Word and He's told you to do something, then you have no choice but to do it. And we just hope that we truly were and we didn't get confused. We didn't get some bad carnal counsel, or we weren't just thinking of ourselves or what would make us happy. It's about what would make God happy. And when we sit there and we do these things and we're with God, it's such a blessing to be close to God. And then when you're not, you're miserable. Because you know it's better to be close. But that's what we should be doing every time. Without God's counsel, we don't know whether we can seek somebody else's counsel. I hope that's the first thing you do. Not say, well, I need man's counsel, because man's counsel can fail. I hope you go, hey, I'm going to talk with God, and God will, right? And that's how God works. He works through people. So, I'm praying to God, I'm looking, I'm seeing, and then God says, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should go talk to somebody about this. I want you to go talk. Why? Because He can speak through other people, and that's when you do it. But if you don't go to God first, you don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. Men can be persuasive. You know, Paul, do I persuade men? No, I'm trying to do it for God. But that's the problem. When you seek that carnal counsel, things get all twisted and change. When you're on YouTube or social media all the time and you see these idiots, and you're going, how do people even follow these guys? Why are people even doing this? When you're like, you know, when they read a scripture, you're like, that's not even what it says. How are they getting that? You know, you're looking like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're like that, but I do that. It could be anybody. If anybody says anything like scripture and uses it, I got that bad habit of, you know, later on going through my Bible and go, you know, I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that whole chapter. I want to see if that's in the right context. I do this. I got that from Pastor Kenny. You know, just that's what I got. I got it from him, and it's a good rule of thumb. And, Don calls me a Kenneyite now, not a Ruckmanite, a Kenneyite. He says, you're a Kenneyite. He's like, you're getting too much like him and doing too much. But that's the thing. We need to be, because we could devise 1,000 devices, 1,000 schemes. We could do all these things, either giving advice or when seeking advice or seeking counsel, and we can already have our minds made up. This is what I'm going to give them if they come to me for counsel, and this is what I'm going to say to them if I need counsel. But my mind's already made up. Meanwhile, not once have we sought God's will in it. Have we gone to him and say, is this truly the way I'm supposed to go? Is this truly what I'm supposed to do? And that goes for everything. That goes for every little decision. God wants to hear from us. He wants to be close to us. I mean, right? I mean, we talk about, again, that carnal bad knowledge compared with God's knowledge. You know, we go to the grocery store, how many times do we pray of, hey, well, you know, I'm just in the mood for a steak, so I'm going to grab steak. I know I can't really afford it, but I'm going to get it today because I want it. I mean, do you think God does not want to? I mean, something simple like that. That's how much he cares about us and how much he wants us to go to him. Say, hey, he might say yes, he might say no, but we don't. We just, right? That's how what we were talking about with the carnal knowledge. It can seem logical. It can seem harmless. But it is really harmless if we don't go to God first. No, it's not. You got to go to him. Hey, you know. But sometimes we get into that situation where we go to the logical, we don't seek counsel, and then it's like, and then we try to pick up the counsel halfway through it. And that's whether we're in trouble or not. We just pick it up halfway through it. Like, well, I've already gone this far, so Lord, can you just, you know, give me the counsel the rest of the way, and then, you know. And then we end up talking to other people and going seeking other counsel, and they're like, you know, you probably shouldn't have done that. But it's too late. Because the most important thing is God's counsel. It's who he is. It's who Jesus is. He says it's okay. It's okay to give counsel. Why? Because I gave counsel and you should be following me. Now, certain counsel we should be... We should have enough discernment to say, hey, I'm not going to touch that and send them to the pastor or send them elsewhere. But then again, do we do that? Probably not. We probably throw in our 2 cents and then send them to the pastor or somewhere else. Again, because it's how we perceive things. It's how we perceive counsel. Some people see it as a weakness, some see it as a strength. But counsel is biblical, and it's needed. It's needed in every aspect of our lives, of how we live, of how we plan, But it's God's counsel we should be seeking. And sometimes he'll send us, you know, out. You know, sometimes he subcontracts because he wants us to see something. So he subcontracts to us and says, hey, you go talk to them. Right? I mean, that's the thing. That's the whole point behind it. It's like we need advice because we're not too good at it. Our advice fails. Our logic fails. And so many, it's so crazy that we don't, you know, we talk about it. We say God, we say Jesus is the most important thing in our lives. We say this is all the best thing. And just how many little things are that we don't go to him. And isn't that the funny thing? Because what happens there is when we're not doing the little things, when we're not seeking counsel for the little things, we're probably not going to seek counsel for the bigger things. And that's biblical. Because why? The Bible says he is faithful in little. Man, and he's faithful. And a lot. He gets the big things. Why? Because it's biblical. But if you can't seek counsel for these little things, if you can't see these things the way they should be, and understand that God wants to be in your life every day, that he's saying it's okay to seek counsel, it's okay to give advice, as long as it aligns with me, then we're going to be in big trouble. We're always going to have the wrong answer. We're always going to get the wrong answer. And unfortunately, that's how we do it a lot. That's our thought process, is logic. It's not based on faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But we like that sight. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to come in and teach a little bit about counseling, Lord, and just it's always a blessing, Lord, when you work through something and you work through me and others. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we could just be more like you. We pray for Pastor Kenny's message this morning, Lord, and pray that it works in our hearts and our minds. Just pray for the little ones over there, Lord, if none of them are saved, Lord, that they would come to the Lord today. And again, you're just such a great God, Lord. You want so much to do in our lives and so much, you just want us, Lord. And so thankful for that, Lord. We're so thankful that you're a God of many opportunities, and it's never too late to turn back around to you, Lord, and try to serve you and try to get closer to you, Lord. And if it be today, Lord, we pray that you would come back and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.